18 past five is the time. You're listening to the ABC in Sydney. I wonder if you're one of our regular students for Self-Improvement Wednesday. Each week you get to learn something new. Your lesson this week, the philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. Your teacher is Dr. Tim Dean, a philosopher at the University of Sydney and a faculty member of the School of Life. Good afternoon.
Hi, Richard.
We're not mucking around today. This is possibly the most famous philosopher of the 20th century.
Well, that's right. Jean-Paul Sartre was probably one of the few that became a household name. There aren't very many philosophers in the 20th century, at least, that can reach that status. Although, that said, he's also the bane of many an undergraduate. Many a first-year undergrad has struggled with his philosophy, as I did indeed in my first year. I really struggled with his philosophy.
And the novels, Nausea and all of that.
And Nausea, yeah. And his novels and his plays, yeah.
Which gave many people nausea.
That's right.
Interesting life. He was born in Paris in 1905, got caught up in the war, though, didn't he, in the Second World War?
That's right. He didn't serve in the war. He had an eye condition, which meant that one eye looks the other way, and the photos of him always show that if you look closely. But he did serve as a meteorologist, and he was captured by the Germans during their invasion of France. And he spent a little bit of time in captivity and was eventually released after a few months, returned to occupied Paris. And this time was a really formative time for him. It helped him to really galvanize a lot of his thinking about freedom and about oppression, and really contemplate about, you know, humans' role in this world and how we exist and how we treat other people and how we can avoid situations where we get into this thing like we did in the Second World War.
Mm. This is the most romantic picture of philosophy and Paris and France. Him and Simone de Beauvoir, his great partner throughout the long life. And this is the period they're in wartime Paris, they're sitting in the cafes, they're arguing on the toss about things.
Exactly. I mean, this is really, people still go to Saint-Germain in Paris and go to the same cafes, some of which are still there today, to recapture this romantic vision of sitting around and talking about the big questions of existence and morality, as they did, as Jean-Paul Sartre and his friends Albert Camus, Merleau-Ponty, other great thinkers of that time did. And they did a lot of their great work by conversing, which to me is roots philosophy. That's how philosophy works, is in conversation.
You've talked to us before in Self-Improvement about philosophers such as René Descartes and Immanuel Kant, who seem to be very worried about our ability to accurately perceive reality. If I look at this computer screen, is it really there? Am I just imagining it? Sartre didn't really go along with all of that.
He was far less interested in the truth that sits behind appearance, which is what philosophers from Plato to Descartes to Immanuel Kant were really interested in. They said appearances can be deceiving, so we're not particularly interested in experience. We are interested in the truth. But Sartre followed some other recent thinkers around his time, particularly someone like Edmund Husserl, who said, you know what? Experience is just really interesting. Even if there is no truth behind it that we can get to, even if we're skeptical about it, the way that we experience the world, and particularly the way that we interact with each other, can tell us a lot about ourselves, and it can tell us a lot about how we find meaning in the world. And that's where he focused his main work, and that's where the term phenomenology comes from. So that goes back to the Greek. They drew a distinction between phenomena and noumena. And noumena were like the reality behind appearances, and the phenomena were just the appearances that we got from them. And so the other philosophers like
Plato... So this is Plato's shadows on the cave wall.
Exactly, yeah. So the phenomena are the shadows, and Plato was like, let's go past the shadows and step outside the cave. Sartre wanted to really understand the shadows and how we also create the shadows and how they create us.
Okay, which brings us to existentialism. I think in popular discourse it's become this quite grim word for... Well, there is no God in the world, and therefore we are just objects who are played upon by historical forces. We have no volition. He didn't see it that way, though.
Not at all. In fact, Sartre jokes about this in some of his own writings. He jokes that he's overheard people like accidentally swearing and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I've become an existentialist, as if it's like a bad thing. And he says existentialism is really this idea, like you said, we are dropped into a universe that is not created with meaning. We have no creator. He didn't believe that there was a God who gave us a purpose to our lives. He said, we are here and we need to create that meaning. We need to create that purpose for ourselves. And so this was the existentialist dilemma. It was like, you can be pessimistic about that. You can just give up your freedom and say, well, I'm just an object, so there's nothing particularly interesting about this universe that I'm in. Or you can pursue what he called projects. He said, you can use your freedom, you can use your agency, and you can do things in the world. And by that, you are creating meaning for yourself. And we don't just do it by ourselves, we do it with others as well. And so that social dimension becomes very important to existentialism as well.
Fantastic quote here from Jean-Paul Sartre, man is nothing else but what he makes of himself.
That's right, yeah. And he said that there's this idea that we kind of like the idea that there's something that we should be, and if we just go out in the world and look hard enough, we will discover ourselves. We'll discover what this truth is. And he said, no, we have to make it. We have to make it. The flip side of that, though, is there's a huge responsibility on our shoulders to figure out what we should do and what we should be. And he's got another famous quote where he says, we are condemned to be free. And he elaborates on that. He says, we are condemned, man is condemned, man because he was speaking less progressive time, condemned because he did not create himself, yet is nevertheless at liberty. And from the moment he is thrown into this world, he is responsible for everything he does. So it's a mixed blessing, this kind of existentialist freedom that he talks about.
So life is difficult.
Life is difficult. And one of the hardest things is to know how to express our own freedom without impinging upon the freedom of others. And this is where he became very interested in politics, particularly in the wake of the Second World War. And he was very interested in looking at political systems that were constraining people's freedom. He thought things like capitalism, for example, constrained our ability to exist freely. He dabbled with communism for a while, as many people did after the war. But he even got disillusioned with that. He said, that is not the solution. That kind of radical communitarian view is too eroding of our freedom. So he went back to this idea that we just need to live in a way that does not prevent or oppress other people from expressing their fundamental freedom that creates them as well.
And oh, to be in a Parisian cafe with Simone de Beauvoir, and Camus presumably was there as well, and Sartre arguing the toss about all these things.
Absolutely. I would certainly love to be there too.
Thank you so much for the lesson.
Thanks, Richard.
The philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre with Dr. Tim Dean, philosopher from the University of Sydney and a faculty member of the School of Life. Of course, you can listen back to Tim's lesson online, maybe share it with some friends if they're interested in philosophy and Sartre. Maybe they're one of those who struggled with his novels and his philosophy at school or university. You'll also find there at abc.net.au Sydney details of how to subscribe to the free Self-Improvement Wednesday podcast. You can get it on the ABC Listen app as well. Next week, Dr. Eliza Middleton from the Insect Behaviour and Ecology Lab at the University of Sydney. Her topic, using insects to measure the health of the environment. Self-Improvement Wednesday.